Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Vince.
And I'm Ashley.
And we are the lead pastors of the Outlet Community Church. And wherever you are in the world, our heart is to add value to your life.
That's right.
Whether it's an encouraging word, whether it's a topic in the Bible, whether it's a life skill that you're looking to develop and hone in on, allow us to be an outlet for you.
Yes, and our prayer is that wherever you are, whether you're right here in service or you're out in the world in the nation, listen, our prayer is that God meets you right where you are. We all have needs, we all have things, but our God is able, and He's able to bless you and get you where you need to be.
We have hundreds of hours of digital content that is available for you to consume free of charge. Freely we receive, freely we want to give it back to you. So make it a point to check out our page, check out our website at theoutletcommunity.com, and you'll be able to find countless hours of videos, podcasts, and other material to help you grow in your walk with God.
Hey, if you like some of the content, like, subscribe, share it, and we'd love that. See your family and friends.
So open up your heart and get ready to receive all that God has for you. In person, there's a barcode on screen. If you're watching online, there's a barcode that came up right underneath me as well. There are even more notes than what you're going to see on the screens in person today. But I'm going to be extremely honest with you. I did not want to preach what I'm about to preach on this morning. In fact, I told the Lord on vacation that I was going to preach something different and come a different way. And how many of y'all know what the Lord, he'll sit up there and laugh at you. And then when you get quiet again, he said, now do what I told you. And I'm going to be honest, the reason why I don't want to preach what I'm about to preach is because that means you all are going to have to hold me to this standard that I'm about to preach. And sometimes I don't feel like doing the Bible. I know none of you have ever felt that way, so I'm just going to tell on myself. But I believe this message here is probably one of the most important messages that we could share, because this is what separates our faith from every other faith and world religion that is out. And so far in this series, we looked at how the Holy Spirit will help us to plan. We also looked at how the Holy Spirit will help you to parent. We then looked at how the Holy Spirit will help you to transition. Online, we looked at last week how the Holy Spirit will help you to sacrificially love. And we're going to build upon this season series. And I want to introduce these two questions. Has anybody ever wondered in your own life, should I leave or should I stay? Well, I'm in the right place. The next question that we sometimes ask is, you know, has anybody ever been looking for closure in particular areas of your life? As we focus in on closure, without closure, it will rob us from experiencing the beauty of the moment. Satan would like to keep you in two places: regretting the past or afraid of the future. He doesn't want you to experience this actual second that you're living in. If you think about your negative feelings, they are not rooted in the gratitude that I have breath in my body right now. I missed you, Harry. And so today we're going to be talking about seasons of closure. And in order to experience seasons of closure in our life, it will require the mature act of walking in the F word, forgiveness. Y'all like, what? What? Forgiveness. We are going to look at biblical forgiveness this morning and today. And my prayer is that this message challenges you the way that it challenged me as I prepared it. Because in our walk with God, sometimes we're tempted to look at the other person and base how well we're doing, as opposed to looking in the mirror of the Word of God to see how well we're doing. Unforgiveness robs you of precious moments in your life. A dear mentor of mine turned 45 on yesterday. And what stood out, I know, right? What stood out to me was I remembered when he was in his mid-20s. And then it dawned on me. I remember when I was in my mid-20s. Anybody else remember when you were in your mid-20s? Didn't that go by so fast? And if you're not in your mid-20s yet, just keep on living. And you notice that the balance of your days, the longer you live, seems to move at a more exponential rate. And what I don't want us to get into a habit of is missing out on the blessing of being here today in the relationships that we're in today, because Satan has a way of getting you to discredit the fact that you're walking in a miracle that you prayed for, because you're concerned about things that you have no control over. We cannot control what happens to us. We can, however, control our response. According to Hopkins Medicine, 3 out of 5, or 62% of American adults, say they need more forgiveness in their personal lives. The same article went on to conclude the act of forgiveness can reap huge rewards for your health, such as lowering the risk of heart attack, improving your cholesterol, your levels of sleep, reducing pain, your blood pressure, levels of anxiety, depression, and stress. And research points to an increase in the forgiveness health connection as you age. The older you are, on one hand, the tougher it is to forgive. On the other hand, it's vital to your health to do so. But forgiveness is unique to the Christian faith. In other religions, forgiveness does not have the same force. In animism, there is no awareness of a personal relationship with God. In Hinduism, we all have to pay an inexorable consequence of karma in the wheel of reincarnations. Buddhism, likewise, knows nothing of a forgiving God. The idea is present in Islam, but there is no personal relationship with God and God being a father. Even in Judaism, forgiveness remains a limited experience, because what we have to understand is what we do not forgive, we will repeat. And this message today will help you gain the closure necessary to move forward in a healthy way. So let's go to Matthew chapter 18, and let's move away from my words, and let's go straight to the Word of God. And in verse 21, it says, "Then Peter came to him and asked, 'Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me?'" He was being noble and he asked, "How about 7 times, the number of completion?" Anybody have like your number one pet peeve? What he was asking is, when someone offends your number one pet peeve, how often should you forgive them? 7 times, that's a noble number. Jesus said, "No, not 7 times. I can imagine Peter going, "Oh, thank you." He said, "But 70 times 7, 490 times in a day." I felt that. There are only 365, every 4 years, 366 days in a year. And the baseline is 490. So Jesus went on to say, therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with the servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay it. So his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned in order to pay the debt of what he owed. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me, and I will pay it all. Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his millions of dollars in debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged a little more. Be patient with me and I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. Jesus concludes in verse 35, that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to give your brothers and sisters, here's the key, from your heart. Let us pray, because we're going to need it. Lord, I thank you. I'm asking for your grace to deliver this word. This is what you've asked us to dive into today. So it's not my agenda, God. It's yours. So have your way in the hearts and lives of every person under the sound of my voice. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's go ahead and define what forgiveness is, because in a moment, I need to also define what forgiveness is not. Being in an error on the side of biblical forgiveness creates a toxic relationship environment. So we have to know what forgiveness is, and at the same time, know what forgiveness is not. And so forgiveness defined, it's an active process in which you make a conscious decision to let go of negative feelings, whether the person deserves it or not. Forgiveness is the choice to choose healthy closure rather than resentment for wrongs and offenses. Forgiveness is also a pardon involving, here's the key, with time and structure, restoration of broken relationships. Forgiveness is multidimensional. There's both a spiritual side of forgiveness, and there is also a natural side of forgiveness. Because first and foremost, forgiveness, that's an act of God. God is the greatest forgiver of all time, releasing sinners from judgment and freeing them from the divine penalty of their sin. But forgiveness, once it's received by God, we then have a human responsibility. Here's the natural side. To do this act towards one neighbor, and this is given new incentive and emphasis in the New Testament because of God's forgiveness in the death and the final payment of Jesus Christ for each and every one of our sins. Hence, forgiveness is a uniquely Christian doctrine. Nothing anyone on this earth has done or will do to you can compare to what you've already done to God, and He's forgiven you for it. And what we see in Matthew 18 is the actual value of forgiveness. We see the actual worth of offenses that have happened toward us. I want you to note that in the human interaction, that what took place in Matthew 18 against the two servants had a cost associated with it. But what I also want you to know is what was forgiven by the servant who wouldn't let the debt of the one who had taken from him go. When someone you care about hurts you, you can hold on to the anger. You can hold on to the resentment. You can hold on to the thoughts of revenge. Or you can embrace forgiveness and move forward. Your choice. Because in our life, our relationships operate off of these a currency, and the currency are terms of money, power, love, and respect. Whenever any one of those four things are perceived to have been taken from us, whoever did that now owes us a debt. In order to make this real for everyone in here, has anyone ever loaned someone some money before? Has anyone ever been burned by loaning someone some money before? From the time you were burned and loaning someone some money, were there some lessons that you said, I need to put in going forward? More times than not, you said, listen, I know I gave them more than what I should have because I was trying to look out for them and help them, and they didn't appreciate what I did for them. You know what? Going forward, if I loan someone some money, the only way I'm going to do it is if I can afford to not get it paid back. Anybody ever said that? Going forward, if I am going to loan it, if they pay it back, fine. If they don't, fine, but I will not overextend myself beyond what I am able to do. The same is true with love. When you give love and you help others, you are to do so without the expectation of them to treat you the way you treated them in return. That's love. So whether or not they appreciate what you did, that has no bearing on what you do. Because the word of God is true whether or not anyone else obeys it. We have to obey it. And so this will now help to get to the root as to why do we keep overextending ourselves? Because sometimes the gifts we give others are a mask for the needs we're trying to get met ourselves. But when we go to God and say, what am I to do in this situation? And He says, this is what you do, and you do that. Whatever comes from you obeying God comes from you obeying God, but it has no bearing on if you should obey God or not. Because even in your good efforts, if the Lord didn't lead you to do it, you sinned. Because good efforts aren't always God efforts. Now, I'm setting it up. I ain't nowhere yet, y'all save them claps. I'm gonna need them toward the end. So let's look at this concept of forgiveness throughout Scripture. man, how come I couldn't preach on Bentleys in heaven this morning? And God's going to make you rich when you shake your hand three times and give an offering. I just wish the Bible worked like that manipulative kind of way, like that. Anyway, I've been watching too many documentaries. All right, so the concept of forgiveness throughout Scripture. The dynamic of forgiveness in the Old Testament thus is of releasing one from the past. The past acts and deeds of sin are not denied, but there is no longer any bondage because forgiveness brings freedom. Maybe you all have been in this situation with me as well. I'm steady holding on to something against somebody, and that person done moved on and forgot about what they did. I didn't do it to me. They moved on, and I'm stuck. So it is paramount to exercise forgiveness so that you can have the freedom to enjoy life. The longer you hold, in order to hold on to unforgiveness, you have to rehearse pain. And when you rehearse pain, you develop faith for pain. And when you develop faith for pain, you're going to get what you believe for, more pain. And so now this is why people, they're in a bad relationship. The relationship just crashes and burns. No one has any closure. We just move on because there's an idea that if I just move on and I don't deal with it, time heals all wounds. That is not in the Bible. And they get into a relationship again with somebody else. And it seems like the same pattern that I had in the last relationship showed up. And so they break up with that person, or they get a divorce from that person, then they get a third marriage or a third relationship. And it seems like from the first relationship and the second relationship, it's now showing up in the third relationship. And watch this, what is wrong with all of them? Never let me look in here and what is going on within me. On purpose, our church slows down twice a year. The first one you all saw last week. There'll be another one the Sunday after Thanksgiving where we slow down. We don't do that just because we don't want to have church. We do that because you have to force yourself to stop. Because life will put you on this rat race and on this wheel where your activity is your medication for toxicity. And when you stop, you step away, you get quiet. This is why some of you don't want to go to sleep without the TV on. I'm sorry. Because you do not want to be left alone at night with your thoughts. Because your spirit inside of you, if you allow it to train you in the way of righteousness, is going to start dealing with areas that you have been trying to avoid for ages. And so you have to intentionally stop, step back, and ask the honest question, what is going on within me? Where did that response come from? Where did that train of thought come from? Who hurt me before this that had me protecting myself like this? And did I forgive that? When you allow God to get real honest with you, that's where healing can take place. I want you all to understand this. Satan hates you. He doesn't like you. y'all ain't cool. Even when you were working on his team, he really didn't care for you. You were just doing his bidding, but he was going to throw you away when he was done with you anyway. He doesn't like you. He hates you. Satan hates your family. Satan hates your church. Satan hates the church. And so he will do whatever it takes to drive a wedge between what is God and your life. But the pandemic had us putting in various activities to keep us busy. Now that society is beginning to shift, we're more busy than we've ever been, more stretched than we've ever been, more tight than we've ever been, because we don't realize the Trojan horse of activity is destroying the fabric of our lives. I want you all to understand this. When it comes to dealing with what's within, if you don't deal with what's within will deal with you. Forgiveness is the release on the part of the creditor or lender or the offended party of any expectation that a debt will be repaid or the offender will receive punishment for an offense. Let me say that again. Forgiveness is the release on the part of the one who was offended, the one who was done wrong, of any expectation that whoever or whatever did you wrong will repay the debt, or that the person who did you wrong will receive punishment for an offense. Now let's be honest. Somebody's done you wrong. And now I'm not saying this is right, but you saw something bad happen to him. You're like, you know, God don't like ugly. That's why 1 Corinthians 13 says, love does not rejoice when evil wins out. If you are looking forward to their downfall, that's evil. Amen. But I want you all to hear this, because now I'm going to get really, really strong, as if the other part wasn't strong. When describing forgiveness and when describing the removal of an inappropriate offense in this way, forgiving someone does not, hear me, condone the behavior or suggest that you are approving the wrong that was done to you. So let's talk about now what forgiveness is not. Number one. Forgiveness is not an enabler of toxic behavior. Number two, when you make the decision to forgive, it is not the absence of emotional triggers. So you could say, I forgave someone. You can get put in a similar environment, and all of the feelings of the offense come rushing back along with all the rage. Just because you feel that does not mean that you did not forgive. It means that you're healing from where you're hurting, but you have to remind yourself of the choice you made to forgive. So do not judge yourself when you find yourself triggered. Number three, forgiveness is not the immediate cessation of hurt and pain of the offense. Unfortunately, in church, we try to spiritualize everything away. Well, if you just give it to God, then all your problems will be over. Just do what the Bible says. Just walk in love. What's wrong with you? It's been 2 years. What's wrong? It's been 20 years. What's wrong? It's been 40 years. What's wrong with you? Did the Bible not work for you? I can run a 100-meter dash and blow my knee out while I'm on the ground, rolling around, the trainer, natural, and the chaplain, spiritual, can come to me. And I'm on the ground grabbing my knee because I couldn't finish this 100-meter dash. The chaplain says, "By Jesus' stripes, you are healed. In the name of Jesus, amen." And the chaplain was right. The word of God is true. But my knee tore up. So the trainer now says, "Now that you've prayed that prayer, I want you to know that God is the healer. However, in the earth, he has put people who have studied your knee, and there's medicine and there are tools to help your knee so that it could be recalibrated better than it was before." But what the church said is, "No, Mr. Trainer, Dr. Man, you. My chaplain said I was healed. I don't need any more help." And the church has gone around hobbling, losing our witness, because we don't trust the other people God has put in the earth for the natural side to bring about the full healing. So the church has to be emotionally and spiritually healthy. To be emotionally healthy without spirituality makes emotional health your idol. To be spiritually healthy without being emotionally healthy means that no one will ever know the God that's in you. When you bring the two of them together, when you go to church and you go to therapy, you go to church and you go to therapy, you go to church and you go to therapy, you go to church, you go to your class. You go to church, you go to your class. You go to your church, you go to your class. Because if you only go to your class, you only go to therapy, and you don't have God, they're going to help you for a second, but God gives you what man can't give you. But when I go to church and I don't go to therapy and I don't go to class, I can hear about what God has done, but I'm messed up because I never see it. But when I put the both of them together and I come to church and I come to small group and I come to Bible study and I sit down with other like-minded believers who tell me, "You can do this. This is not the end of you. This is not over. God has more for your life." And then I go to therapy that says, "Get rid of all of these things and even sometimes take this pill." Then I bring what God has put in the earth with what God has already put in my spirit, and then I am now the best version of myself that I have ever been in my entire life. You need both. All right. Let me finish with. I'm just gonna finish when I finish. All right. I'm trying to be mindful of the time, but this is feeling real good right now, y'all. Forgiveness is not the denial of the existence of the offense or transgression. To deny that an offense took place is to gaslight the individual who actually was hurt by it. That's the definition of gaslighting, if you do not acknowledge that there was something that was wrong, even if we have to agree to disagree, you cannot just say, let's forget all that. Let's not deal with any of that. And no. We've got to deal with this right here. It's what we need to talk about. And we need to walk through it. Now, the thought comes to mind is, what happens when the person in the relationship that I need closure from, they're no longer on this side of earth? They moved on. They're gone. Or they might not even know there's a problem. See, what I don't want y'all to do is when you leave church today, pick up the phone to somebody that doesn't even know you don't like them. Say, you know, I ain't never liked you before. But I went to church and the Bible said I need to forgive, so I forgive you. And they're like, forgive me for what? Whenever you have someone who is no longer in your life and what they did still haunts you, the primary step is that's where therapy comes in, to help you talk through that. But let's just say for insurance reasons, cost reasons, time reasons, season of life reasons, you're unable to get in with a quality mental health therapist, okay? It's another story for another day. Begin to journal and talk to them in your journal. Get everything out. Get all of what happened. Do not judge yourself based on how you feel, because those are your feelings. At the same time, in having these conversations, do not dismiss how someone else feels, because those are their feelings. They are neither right, they're neither wrong. They are theirs. They own that. So let people have that. But you cannot, for the sake of let's just move on, deny the existence of the offense. Let me tell you what also forgiveness is not. It's not the reinstitution of proximity within the relationship. Man. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm not gonna be held by my calendar of sermons. This is gonna be part one, and next week's gonna be part two, because I do not wanna rush this. I need to sit in this. Because we are to forgive everyone at all times, no questions asked. Everyone, say, I am to forgive everyone. That's non-negotiable. That's what you're supposed to do. But we've lacked the tools to build healthy relationships from the offense. And that's what keeps these toxic cycles going over and over again. This last point, the reason I'm going to stop here, because I really want to talk about this in the church. The reinstitution of proximity within the relationship. I want to talk about this from the context of marriage. The church has kept people in marriages that they shouldn't have been in for the sake of forgiveness. And it was toxic. You had people being abused, exposed to sexually transmitted diseases, threatened with their life. But because they did not want to let God down, I'm just going to stay and stick it out. Causes people to lose trust in a place that's supposed to help, which is the church. The children in those households, they've seen that. They saw how mom or dad was out and they belonged, the Ebonites, they belonged to the streets. They were people. I guess the older version, they were a rolling stone. The biblical version, they were an adulterer, all right? Whatever it is that brings it home. They were not living a godly lifestyle that was healthy for the home. And when you come to church and you hear, you forgive everybody. How many times? 490. 490, that's right. They can go cheat 490 times in a day. Whatever he got, I need to, anyway, that's... I kid. No, I don't. I'm serious. But the point is, people stayed in relationships that knocked them over the side of the head, afraid for their life, but I don't want to let God down. Forgiveness means you don't owe me an apology, but the Bible also says that I'm to love the Lord my God, but I'm also to love you as I first love me. And because I love me and this is not healthy, I have to create space until you can prove from the space that we're able to safely get back in proximity. So separation is biblical. Oh, divorce under certain circumstances is biblical. Yes, I know God's will is that you stand at that altar and y'all do all the vows that you said you do. Absolutely. In fact, I'll tell you from experience that divorce people say they are the ones who are against divorce the most. They don't want it to happen. But you don't need to be in condemnation for things that were done outside of your control, and God is not holding that over your head. So before you can forgive others, this is where we're going to end today. I want you to forgive yourself. You're so hard on other people because you're the worst to you. Do you give yourself grace? Do you accept yourself flaws and all the way that God has accepted you flaws and all? So when you start there, it's from that love that you can share to other people. Let's stand on our feet today. We'll do part two on next week. Amen. Amen. As a pastor, my heart breaks because of the level of misinformation that's in the earth today about the love and forgiveness of God. Because so many people run from God when they're at their worst. And quite frankly, I don't blame them because when they went to church, that was what they were taught. Get right or get left. What will you do when the trumpet sounds? Will you be left behind? And instead of facing the music, they run into where they think they have acceptance. When my faith became real to me, it was when I was the furthest from God. I grew up in church, so I knew better. Yet I wasn't living what I knew. And that summer, I took a job as a personal trainer for a local high school for the football team. Non-Christian, just regular public high school. And we were brought in by Fellowship of Christian Athletes to work the football team out. Man, I was living that summer. But every morning we committed to get up at 5 to work out the boys. But before we did, we had a script that we had to read. We had a script. And we read them a Bible lesson every single week. Every single practice, every single time. We read a Bible lesson. I didn't put any thought into it. I just read the words, did whatever. All right, time to get running. Let's go. At the end of week 5, I was reading the lesson. As I was reading the lesson, they then had the Salvation Sinner's Prayer at the very end. And I said, all right, if you all, anybody in here wants to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, just lift your hands and we'll pray this prayer. And I looked down because I really didn't care. And I looked up. Public school, football team, every kid lifted their hand. Said, Coach, I want to give my life to God. Coach, I want to give my life to God. Coach, I want to give my life to God. Coach, I want to give my life to God. We prayed the sinner's prayer. At the end of that practice, 10 to 15 young men came to me and said, Coach, if you weren't here this summer, I don't know where I'd be right now. And I knew it wasn't because of Coach. It was because of their Heavenly Father. That He would use an imperfect vessel like me to share His love to them. And that moment messed me up the rest of my life. Today I'm here, that same imperfect vessel. With every head bowed and every